Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org. Okay, last week we started a four-week series that we're calling Dust. And if you missed last week, you can go on our website and you can catch up on the podcast, parishanglican.org. But we're calling this four-week series Dust for a very specific reason. And it's because we talked about last week that in the ancient Judaic tradition, whenever someone would follow a rabbi, if they were a disciple, you probably heard that word before, there was a blessing that you would pray over someone, a young man that was going to study underneath a rabbi, and the blessing would say, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." And the thought of that was that you would walk so closely behind your rabbi that the sandals would kick up dirt and dust off of the road and actually cover the front of your garment in dust. You remember that from last week? And so the challenge that we were trying to ask ourselves was, are we covered in the dust of Jesus? I know that we hold to the truth of Jesus and we say that we follow Jesus, but do we actually look like it? When it comes to difficult decisions or difficult conversations, do we actually walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus and move like him? Or are we covered in the dust of everyone else and everything else? And what we said was that no matter who you are, no matter whether you follow Jesus or not, you're covered in someone's dust. Whether it may be your parents, it may be society, it may be the music you listen to, it may be what you watch on TV, we're covered in dust, whether we like it or not. And so we wanted to challenge ourselves to say, let's be intentional about this. And let's ask Jesus if he would give us the grace to follow him and be covered in his dust. And we said the first step in that process is openness. It's a really, really important step that we can't miss. Openness is the first step. In fact, John was telling me this week, and I think it's totally true. If you boil down the entire Christian life, what it means to follow Jesus, if you had to boil it down to one word, it's almost this word, openness. Following Jesus is the process of allowing Jesus to change us from closed people to open people. From darkness to light, from death to life. We go from being closed to what God wants and to what Jesus wants in our lives to being open, to open with our lives, with our finances, with our opinions, with everything in our lives to whatever Jesus would have for us. So that's our first step. And we challenged ourselves to say, Lord, we want to pray that you would make us open people. But here's the really difficult part. And I didn't say this to you last week because it's kind of a little bit of a gotcha. But this is not easy to see in the mirror. Right? Openness is not something that you can see when you look in the mirror. In fact, it's really, really difficult to self-identify. And maybe the person sitting next to you may be able to identify your openness better than you can. We actually walk around in life and we think, oh yeah, I'm open. I'm open to what Jesus has to say. I follow Jesus. I listen to his opinion more than anyone else. But in many instances, we're blinded by the fact that we actually aren't open. Just like the person that Jesus healed last week, our ears are not open. We're not able to communicate and to listen to what Jesus would have to say. In fact, there was a little phrase in our passage of scripture last week that I want us to remember because we breezed past it, but it's important. When Jesus healed the person who was deaf and couldn't speak, when he walks up and heals this person, he does something very specific. Mark in chapter 7 says, he took him away, aside, away from the crowd. So he takes this deaf, mute man and takes him by the hand and leads him away from the crowd. Why is that so important? Because of what we're talking about. That oftentimes our ears get so clogged with the voice of the crowd that we can no longer listen to or focus on the words of Jesus. And we become covered in the dust of the crowd instead of covered in the dust of Jesus. In this week's scripture, we see the exact same thing. Callie read it for us a second ago. The disciples are gathered together. Jesus asks them, who do people say that I am? They throw out all these different answers. And then Peter speaks up. And what does Peter say? When Jesus says, who do you say that I am? What does Peter say? Anybody? He's the Messiah, which is right. Ding, 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 ding. That's the right answer. It's good. It's good. This is huge. This is a really important piece of truth that gets dropped into the middle of the story of the Gospel of Mark. It's a turning point. It's a point at which Peter says, no, I think this is more than just a man or a teacher or a rabbi. You're the Messiah. powerful truth, and Peter got it right. But then, when Jesus takes a step from the truth, and he takes one more step, and he says, this is the way that I'm going to be a Messiah. Here's how this is going to happen. The way that I am a Messiah is I sacrifice my life. The way that I am a Messiah is I submit myself to the people in power. Peter short circuits and says, no. The truth is that you're the Messiah. You've got the way wrong. That's not correct. Because being a Messiah, the idea of the Messiah was a hot button issue in his day. Everyone would have been talking about this, okay? In Palestine at the time, everyone would have been talking about what it meant to be a Messiah, what they were looking for, what they were anticipating. And they had a very specific way that someone would be a Messiah. They were going to overcome by force. They were going to use the sword. They were going to conquer the governing powers. And they were going to set the people of God free. That was the way that someone was supposed to be a Messiah. And so when Jesus explains his way, Peter is listening more to the voice of the crowd than he's listening to the voice of Jesus. He can't hear the words of Jesus because the voice of the crowd has spoken this into him. If you have heard this phrase before, you probably have, but in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus proclaims to his disciples, to everyone listening, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, most of the time that you hear Christians get very excited or very, you know, confrontational about things, or we're going to stand up for this, or we're going to be really passionate about this. Which one of those three things do Christians get very passionate about? Anybody? The truth. We are going to protect the truth. We are going to defend the truth. It's time for someone speaks up for the voice of truth. And that's very important. It's extremely important. Just like Peter saying, you are the Messiah. That's so important. But Eugene Peterson, I love the way he says this in his book, The Jesus Way. He says, we can't proclaim the Jesus truth, but then do it any old way we like. Okay, that's not an option for people who truly follow Jesus. But Jesus as the truth gets far more attention than Jesus as the way. Jesus as the way is the most frequently evaded metaphor among the Christians whom I have worked for 50 years as a North American pastor. Would you agree with him? There's a lot of people that will walk around, and we all do this, okay? We need to point the fingers at ourselves today. We walk around and we fight so hard for truth in certain areas that we lose sight of what it means to walk as Jesus in the way that he walked. But the truth that we need to hold on to today is that real disciples carry the truth of Jesus in the way of Jesus. When you're covered in the dust of Jesus and not in the dust of a crowd, this is what your life looks like. You carry the truth of Jesus. You don't neglect the truth of Jesus. It's important. It's essential. It's life-giving. It brings freedom. But you carry the truth of Jesus in the way of Jesus. And that is much, much more difficult. We all do the exact same that Peter does. Every single one of us, we do this, okay? We can't escape this. We all have areas of our life where we get so riled up about truth that we forget about the way. So here's what I wanted to do today, okay? This is a little bit of a risk, okay? But instead of just talking at you for the next 10 minutes about what this means, I want us to kind of interact together a little bit. Is that okay? All the introverts in the room just went, oh no. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. We're gonna ask a few questions. Okay, I'm going to ask you three questions, and I'd love for you to find a few people around you that you can talk to, and I want us to learn from each other this morning as we allow the Holy Spirit to kind of speak through our community. So I'm going to give you a few minutes. This is like grade school again, okay? So I'm going to give you a few minutes. You can turn around, find five people, four or five, just a rough number. If you just want to meet with your spouse or with the person next to you, you can do that as well. If you just want to look holy, just pray and no one will bother you. So turn around and find a group of people that you can talk to this morning and make sure everybody's kind of included. Everybody's got somewhere to land, okay? You guys are so good. You're so good. All right. Everybody kind of settled in? All right. We don't have a ton of time, so we can do our formal introductions in a little bit. But here's my first question, okay? If you're an introvert, you don't have to answer, okay? We're not going around the circle, okay? So you can just sit there and everyone will think that you're more holy than everyone else. But if you want to speak up, then speak up in the group and kind of steer the conversation along. So here's our first question. what are the hot button issues of our day? Okay, being a Messiah is not the hot button issue of today. What are the hot button issues of today? What do you see on TV? What do you read in the news? What do you see in your circle of friends? What are the hot button issues? Like, for instance, let me give you a for instance. My wife is pregnant, and if as you find out when you have a spouse that's pregnant or if you've been pregnant, everything about pregnancy is a hot button issue, okay? Whether or not you breastfeed, whether or not you're doing formula, what kind of stroller you have. Like, people will fight you over this stuff, okay? It's a hot button issue in our circle right now, okay? So what are the hot button issues in your world right now? Let's talk about those things and just throw out a few of them in your group. Go. Discuss. Throw a few of these out at me, because I bet we have a lot of these in common, okay, as we look around the room. So what were some big hot button topics that you went, oh yeah, that's one of them. Anybody brave enough to share? Anybody?
Gay marriage.
Gay marriage? We talked about this a little bit earlier, but just sexuality in general. And there's so many different topics, and they're all hot buttons, every single one of them. What else? Bill?
We just said political correctness.
Yeah, absolutely. What you can say, what you can't say, it's big. People are upset that you have to be politically correct. People think, you know, you're rude if you're not. It's good. What else?
Football.
Football, yes, absolutely. It's good. I have so many things I want to say right now, but there's a lot of Auburn fans in the room, and I don't want to lose half of our church. So anything else?
Truth.
Yeah, I know. What else? Hot button issues. There's more.
Immigration.
Hello, that's huge. Immigration's really big right now. Gun control? Yep, people will fight you on that one.
Abortion.
Planned Parenthood, abortion issue, same time. Yep.
Race relations
are very, very big, important. Okay, so all these topics, how about just the presidential election? So there's lots of different issues that are hot button topics for us right now, okay? But here's where this gets a little bit more difficult, okay? Question number two, what does the crowd have to say about these issues? So what's the voice that you hear on Fox News or CNN or NPR or whatever you listen to? Or what does your little circle of friends have to say about this? Like, when you get in a room and you sense the temperature's kind of rising and people are getting pretty like heated about this thing, what does the crowd say about these issues? Take a minute and discuss that in your groups. Go for it. All right. So we could probably talk about that one for a while. I sense that there's some groups that want to just keep chatting. But we got one more question that's really important. Now, remember, okay, we're not just talking about what is true. You understand that? You remember that? We're not just talking about what's true here. And with some of these issues, the truth is really, really important and really controversial. Okay, the truth of Jesus, when we open the scriptures and we read the gospels, the things that Jesus say don't make us feel good sometimes. The truth can be really difficult, but we're not just talking about the truth. We're talking about carrying the truth of Jesus in the way of Jesus. Because remember, Peter got the truth right, but he misunderstood the way. Jesus had a very distinct way about being the Messiah, and so he has a distinct way of speaking into these issues as well. So question number three, if I want to carry the truth of Jesus in the way of Jesus, how should I respond to these issues? You hear that? Not how should they respond to these issues, not how should the church respond to these issues, how should I respond to these issues? Whether it means getting involved, whether it means in your circle of friends, in your marriage, in your family, how should I respond to these issues? Another way to ask this is, how would Jesus respond to these issues if he were living my life right now? If Jesus were in my place, what do you think the way would be that he would respond to these issues? Take a few minutes and discuss that, and then we'll wrap up. Go for it. I wish we had 20 more minutes to just discuss this, and I hope that you will continue discussing this as you go out to lunch, as you hang out with your families and friends this week. But that one's a little bit tougher to answer, isn't it? That one's a little bit more difficult to understand. How is it that Jesus would react to these situations in our daily lives? And if we're realistic about it, carrying the truth of Jesus in the way of Jesus is really hard. It's way easier to just listen to the voice of the crowd. It's so much easier to do that. In fact, what it means is it's going to cost us something to do this. What did Callie read that we heard Jesus say? If you're going to follow me, you have to take up your cross. It's not easy. It should cost us something. And it may be as simple as it costs us that little ability to just have this crowd answer and just kind of rage about it for a little bit and then just say, but Jesus loves you, and just like sprinkle it on top of it. Or like put your Jesus bumper sticker on the back of your car. You can't do that if you're covered in the dust of Jesus. That's not the way that you walk in the way of Jesus. What it may cost you is it may cost you your Facebook rants, right? Like, would Jesus rant on Facebook about these issues? Would he just obliterate people on Facebook? I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, would Jesus carry the truth? This is something that we need to also remember. He's not just going to walk away from the conversation. He's not just going to leave it alone and be like, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. But how do you faithfully engage in these conversations in a way that reflects the way that Jesus would handle this? Remember, in John chapter 14, Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life. So when it costs us these things, and we have to let some of our core convictions and our most natural human responses die, whenever things die with Jesus, there's a resurrection. We have to let things die, but because of the good news of the gospel, he can bring us life. When we carry the truth of Jesus in the way of Jesus, we can experience and carry the life of Jesus. That's what it means to be covered in the dust of our rabbi. That's what it means to be a disciple. Our real disciples carry the truth of Jesus in the way of Jesus. Now, this is one of those things that is super easy to apply to other people, okay? This is so easy to think in your mind, oh yeah, well, I know he does that, and I know she does that, but I want us to work really hard today to ask God to apply this to our lives. So just take a moment and close your eyes where you are and ask God to search our hearts today. Am I following in the way of Jesus, or am I following the voice of the crowd? Am I following the way of Jesus, or am I following the voice of the crowd? Just ask that question. And in the stillness of this moment, let's see if the Lord will kind of bring something to mind, a way that you've been listening to the voice of the crowd instead of Jesus. Just ask that question and just let it rest for a moment. And now, hopefully, you've got something in mind, a way that we've deviated from the way of Jesus and started listening to the crowd. I want you to look at these screens. We're going to pray a prayer of confession together. This is a 500-year-old prayer from the Book of Common Prayer, and it allows us to remember the truth of God's word, that we can confess our sins, and Jesus can forgive us and give us the ability to walk in new life. So let's confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Say this with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And now here's the great truth of the gospel. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. That's the truth. That when we confess these things, these places where we've deviated from the way of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, he can strengthen us in all goodness, forgive our sins, and then keep us in his Holy Spirit in eternal living every single day. He's the one that can empower us to begin listening to the voice of Jesus instead of the voice of the crowd.